Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining me today. Let me give you an update on a few things that are happening here, and then I'll try and respond to questions that you have on any subject. I know that there are many of us who are continuing to closely monitor the rail service issues in South Dakota, and I wanted to give you a quick update on the work I've been doing on that front. As many of you know, on June 20th, the Surface Transportation Board issued an order requiring Canadian Pacific Railway and Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad to publicly file plans to resolve their respective backlogs of grain car orders in response to months of inconsistent service. The latest status report showed that Burlington Northern's backlog in South Dakota was at 444 cars, with an average car 7.1 days late. While the average length of delays for cars has remained fairly low and steady, the number of late cars has doubled over the last 2 weeks. And we've been told by the Burlington Northern that the increase in late cars is due to its renewed focus on shuttles and due to the additional attention that it has provided North Dakota, which is has almost 4,000 old cars compared to where we are in South Dakota. So I'm going to be speaking with their executive chairman next week, Matt Rose, and I hope to have more information to share after that conversation. I did on June 25th send a letter to the CP urging it to fulfill the promise that it made to the Rapid City Pier in Eastern, the new railroad in South Dakota, to provide 400 grain cars per week, and they've been only getting about a third of the expected cars. The first two reports that they had to file with the STB were positive, but we've got more recent reports that show that only 250 of those cars out of the 400 had been provided. And so after further inquiries by my staff, we determined the primary reason was for the backlog was due to CP's failure to get the agreed-upon locomotives weekly, and they were supposed to furnish 10 locomotives weekly to the RCP&E. And so I spoke with CP's president last week, Keith Creel, continuing to follow up on the grain car backlog and underscoring the importance of addressing the shortage, despite CP's insistence that it will continue to try and resolve the problem. Recent numbers have started to slip, which is why today I'm going to send another follow-up letter reiterating my attention to an oversight of this important issue. My view is we're reaching a very critical juncture in South Dakota as the wheat harvest begins, and I'm going to continue to pressure and to ride the CP, the BNSF, the RCP&E to deliver the needed rail service to our state. Agriculture is our number one industry. It affects shippers, it affects farmers, it affects ethanol plants, and we need to continue to make sure that the Surface Transportation Board is got the information, and many of you have provided valuable information to us, and people across South Dakota have provided valuable information to us about what the situation, the service issues look like, and I want to continue to get that information so that we can forward it on to the Surface Transportation Board and to work with our shippers and our commodity groups, producer community, and the STB to make sure that these rail service problems get addressed early before it gets out of hand. And I really worry about that with the wheat harvest coming in now and corn and soybeans coming in later and what looks like pretty big harvests, that we're headed for some very, very difficult times ahead if we don't start to head this off now. And so I've got my staff talking with state DOT and with the railroads on a regular basis and with the Surface Transportation Board to try and stay on top of these issues and make sure that the railroads are being as responsive as is humanly possible, because we all know the important impact that agriculture has on our economy in South Dakota, and this is an issue that directly and profoundly impacts that economy. We've got to be able to get our products to the marketplace in an affordable and efficient way, and so we'll continue to work those issues. I just wanted to mention this afternoon the Senate Commerce Committee, where I serve as ranking member, is going to approve the Travel Promotion Enhancement Modernization Act. It's a bill that would authorize a program called Brand USA, and that's a public-private partnership designed to increase the number of visitors to the United States. Of course, South Dakota, next agriculture, there's probably nothing that we're more known for than tourism and travel. It's our internationally recognized sites draw literally hundreds of thousands of visitors, millions of visitors to our state each year. And so it's really important that we continue to promote and expand opportunities for people to visit. Both domestic and foreign visitors contribute to our state and local tax bases. In fact, in 2013, the state of South Dakota saw nearly $2 billion in economic impact from tourism-related activities and collected $298 million in local tax revenue. So the bill is important when it comes to attracting tourists from around the world to visit some of our nation's most historic and recognizable sites, including those in South Dakota. And that's why I've worked with not only South Dakota Secretary of Tourism Jim Hagan, but also my colleagues in the Senate to make improvements in the bill to ensure that additional transparency and accountability for that program does clear a path for it to get passed. So I recognize how important attracting and drawing visitors to South Dakota is to our state's economy. I'm going to continue to work with my colleagues to make sure that this bill makes it all the way through the Senate. Late yesterday, I had an opportunity, along with some of my colleagues on the Senate Ag Committee, to meet with EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy, where we pressed her on a number of regulations that we believe are an overreach by the EPA, specifically the Waters of the United States rule, which was published for comment earlier this year. And I think she left the meeting with a very clear understanding that I and other members of the committee consider that proposal a clear overreach into the lives and livelihoods of farmers, ranchers, and small businesses. And I'm pleased that they've extended the comment period on that rule, but I still have serious concerns about what I think is a tremendous power grab by the EPA. And I can't tell you there isn't, when I'm traveling in South Dakota, a place I go where I don't hear about from farmers, ranchers, small business people, landowners, homeowners, developers, that this proposed definition could apply to countless numbers of small wetlands, creeks, dock ponds, ditches that are typically regulated at the state level. It is a dramatic expansion of EPA's regulatory authority, and it would have significant economic impacts for property owners across South Dakota who likely would be hit with new permits, compliance costs, threats of fines. And so I'll keep working and keep, along with my colleagues, the pressure on the EPA and in opposing what I think is a very threatening overreach by the Obama EPA, and something that could have dramatic and very harmful consequences for the state. Finally, I just wanted to mention this week it's my great honor to be able to recognize Scott and Jamie Nagy and their family from Brookings with the 2014 Angels in Adoption Award. As a member of the Congressional Coalition on Adoption, this is an award I present annually to a South Dakota family who's made a difference in the life of a child by opening their hearts and their homes through the process of adoption. And a lot of you I know this story, but in 2006, Scott and Jamie adopted their 2.5-year-old daughter at the time, Naika, from Haiti, and joined her with their biological children. That adoption prompted Jamie's collaboration with another adoptive family to create an adoption network group in Brookings that's focused on helping others understand adoption and to be able to navigate the difficult family transitions. And their adoption experience also is what I think really got Scott interested in and very involved with Samaritan's Feet, which is an organization that provides shoes to orphans and impoverished children in developing countries. Scott, as we all know, is the head coach of the South Dakota State University men's basketball team, has done a lot to help raise the profile for Samaritan's Feet, and in 2009 became one of the first coaches in the country to coach barefoot at a basketball game to help raise awareness for the cause. And in 2013, in fact, Scott took the South Dakota State men's basketball team to Haiti to distribute shoes. So just a great story, great family, and their mutual commitment to service and passion for these issues is self-evident, and I can't think of a better way to honor their outstanding work than by recognizing them as this year's Angels in Adoption recipients. And so I'm very honored to be able to do that and hopeful that sometime later this year they'll be able to come out here to Washington and be recognized at the national level.